In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't you just love the time change? It's nothing I like better than waking up and thinking, oh, I got plenty of time, it's still dark out, and find out I'm wrong. And as I was thinking about it this morning, I thought, you know, I don't like change very much. I don't. It messes me up. I forget the order of the service, which I know very well. But so as I was looking at this gospel, which is, you know, one or two verses, which they tend to be this time of year, I thought, I could preach this whole thing, but y'all probably wouldn't appreciate that. There's really one thing that sticks out to me, and it's the concept of where Nicodemus is and where Jesus is telling him he needs him to be and wants him to be. We're not talking about his physical location. There seems to be this theme of understanding that there's more. So Nicodemus, not fully understanding what's going on with Jesus, he goes to see Jesus at night. Now, some might say that that's because he doesn't want anybody to know he's going to see Jesus. I suspect it was more so he could have a little one-on-one time with Jesus and talk to him, you know, teacher to teacher. And he came to Jesus by night, said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answers him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Now, honestly, what does that have to do with anything that Nicodemus just said? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And now Nicodemus is confused. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answers again with great clarity. No. "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Now at this point, we don't really hear much else from Nicodemus, just a little bit. "How can these things be?" he answers. And I'm thinking at this point, Nicodemus is thinking, I walked here in the dark. And guess what? I'm still in the dark. But what he's really trying to say is something needs to change. It's not just so much the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Something within you needs to shift so that you begin to hear differently what it is that is being said, the word of God, that you begin to understand differently that God isn't just in the law. He's in all things. And he's calling us to a deeper relationship, one that makes us think we are new. But Nicodemus is a man of the law. You do these things, and everything will turn out just as you imagined it would. And as I was thinking about this and praying about it, I was thinking about this time, a time in my life. I think, well, when did I experience something like that? And I have to say this. When I was pretty young, probably 10 or 11 years old, I was introduced to a musician by the name, and you can debate if you think he's a musician or not, the name of the musician was Jimi Hendrix. You may have heard of him. I was a huge fan. I am still a huge fan. And as I got a little bit older, I was very interested in music. I love music of all kinds. I began to find out that there were people that Jimi Hendrix liked. And I began to follow that back, and I discovered people like Lightning Hopkins, B.B. King. Okay. I saw a couple of people knew who Lightning Hopkins was. Blues musicians. So I started going into that area, and I just love the blues. Just love the blues. And so many things are based on that, rock and roll and other things. And I just wanted to play the blues. So when I was in high school, I was playing a different instrument at that point in my life. I still own it, even the one from high school. But I went to the music store and I bought a harmonica. Not this one. That one's in the truck. I still have it too. Strangely, doesn't play as well. It's a few years old. And so I got it, and it came with this little instruction on how to play it. Now, if you're unaware, let me help you. When the harmonica music, so to speak, if you're not aware, harmonica has numbers over the holes. So harmonica music just says hole 4, blow, hole 6, draw. And I thought, okay, how hard can it be? Right? It's just this little thing. You've all heard them. And what's really fun, you hand it to a little kid and you get this. Right? And they run all around the house. I know this because I have 7 grandchildren and a whole collection of harmonicas. But when you read the music, you pick it up and you go, okay. So I picked it up in high school and it did this. And I thought, okay, it's not what I expected it to sound like. And I didn't understand what was going on, so I learned to play a couple little things, which I thankfully have now forgotten, and I put it away for years. And I was at a party at my in-law's house some years later, and there was another guy there, and we were talking about harmonicas. I don't know why, how it came up. And I said, well, I play it, but I don't know, it just doesn't sound right. And he goes, well, you don't play the harmonica so much as you feel it. And I said, okay, well, I love music and I feel music. He goes, no, it really has to become part of you in order to really play the harmonica. And he taught me a few little tricks and things and techniques, I should say. And I began to play more. And then I discovered that it came from somewhere else. I wasn't reading music in my head and trying to do the structural piece anymore, although that was still there. The holes are still numbered. You still blow or draw, but there's just a deeper way in which to engage it. So it's beginning to sound a little different these days. I could go on. Did you notice a difference there? See, my harmonica playing was transformed. Now, I had to actually stop and think how to play a single hole in and out, just kind of move up and down, so you would hear that. I don't have to think to play the other way. I have to move into it and move with it. When I hear this story of Nicodemus and Jesus saying this to him, Jesus is saying, brother, there's more to this than just following the law. He doesn't say anything about the laws are going to go away, does he? Now, what he's saying is you have to be born again. You need to have a new look at what's going on. And I have to say, my spiritual walk has been that too. When I was a child, I went to church. I went to classes on Wednesday where I was taught how to do everything the way you're supposed to do it. And I thought, and this is it. I had my rosary. I had my Blessed Virgin Mother. You know, I had the tools. And that was what I had. And along my journey, I kind of stepped away from that. But then I found later, somebody sat with me and I discovered there was more. I discovered I had to learn to trust and have faith in this God that I was professing. Sat with a young woman who was in my youth group years ago, and she came to me. She was upset after a youth group meeting. It was an exceptionally good youth group meeting. Very deep, very spiritual, a lot of prayer. And she said, I'm not like everybody else in the room. I don't understand what they say when what they're saying when they tell me they can just feel the presence of God. I'm doing all the same things they're doing, but I don't feel what they feel. And I said, well, the Lord will reveal to you why that is. And we were on a retreat weekend sometime later, not unlike the retreat weekend where some of our young people are now. And there was a moment where we were out by the fire, and the process we had gone through had come to a close, and there was singing and there was prayers. And I noticed she's still sitting there, and she's sobbing. And I went over and I sat next to her, and she just kind of folded into me. And I said, do you feel him now? See, because what we just did is they were all to come out there, search inside themselves, write on a piece of paper those things that they most deeply needed to confess to God, and then they went and put them in the fire. And it was then that she felt God. And I understood that, because that was true for me too. I had to have faith that the promises he had made were true, that no matter what it was I had done, whatever that sin was, if I had confessed it to him, he would take it from me. That was his promise. And I had to learn that process, and I still have to go back to it, of actually inviting Jesus into the depth of who I am, and most especially into the depth of who I shouldn't be. I can follow the rules. I can follow the season of the church. We can come in here and be thrown off a little bit because this priest likes to start the service different during Lent, and comes to the front and does penitential order at the beginning. We do confession instead of where it normally is. I do that so that you aren't stuck following the rules, so that we aren't stuck following the rule. So it sets us off a little bit, and maybe we hear it differently, and maybe we engage it differently during this season of Lent, which we're called to do. But the purpose of that is so that we may hear Jesus' words to Nicodemus and say, I know what you mean. There was a time in my life I would hear Jesus say this and I'd say, I don't get it. Worse, there was a time in my life where people would say, are you a born again Christian? And I'd be like, oh my goodness, I hope not. I don't want to be one of those people. They're crazy. But I will confidently say to you now, yes, indeed, I am a born-again Christian. Thanks, God. I'm born again because I had to let go of the earthly things. The things that were of flesh are of the flesh. The things that are of heaven are of heaven. And we need to be replacing fleshly things with the heavenly things. I have a lot of fleshly things. But I want Jesus to be deep inside. I want to have the depth of the relationship that he's calling me to. And the only way I have found the ability to go deeper with Jesus is if I go deeper with Jesus. If I have some special place inside of my soul that I'm keeping dark and away from everyone else and away from God, I am keeping myself away from God. So we have this wonderful season where we're reminded that Jesus does all that he says he will. And when we enter into it, we can find the depth, and boy, we can play more soulfully. We can be transformed, the way in which we move, the way in which we love. It can change. And then this passage, so lovely and long, ends with the two verses, one of which everyone's heard 1,000 times at least, possibly the only verse that most Episcopalians have memorized, John 3:16. I proved that out when I was in seminary, by the way, after our New Testament professor accused us of never memorizing scripture. I preached on this then, and I said, John 3:16, and they all got them to say it back to me, and I said, see, we do know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Yeah, amen. I love the passage, but I have to tell you, I'd heard it so many times it meant nothing to me for a large part of my life. Oh, it means a lot more to me now. But what I really love about the way in which it's presented today is it has the most important verse for me, verse 17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved through him. And when I hear that and when I say that, you know what my heart says? He saved you from you, Brian. Your sinful heart. Your dark, damaged soul. He has saved you from that. That deepens my relationship. But I have to have a strong enough faith to trust him with that promise. If I continue through based on the concept that I think I'm going to be judged or condemned by Jesus, therefore I will keep this dark secret to myself and hide it from him. Two problems. It will just keep you from him at the level in which he wants to be with you. The other problem, you're lying to yourself, he already knows. But it doesn't hurt to just share it with him so that you will understand more deeply what it means to have a Savior this time of Lent offers us an opportunity we have every single day of our lives, but we're reminded of it more so during this season. It's why it's my favorite season, by the way. People think I'm just, I don't know, off balance in some sense, that you would just love Lent. But what could possibly be better for a Christian who is professing a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than to have an entire season to do nothing other than focus on going deeper into our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Just to see where will it go. So just like all those years ago when I picked up that harmonica and I expected it to play a particular way and it didn't, what I found out is it wasn't the harmonica. The harmonica knew what to do. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to put myself into it so that the soul of what the instrument do would come out. Same thing with the spiritual journey. I learned all the rules, how to follow the directions, how to show up to church on Sunday, how to roll my eyes and wait for it to get over and go running out the door. And as we got older and we were supposed to ride our bikes to the classes on Wednesday to come home and have my mom say, how were your classes today? And go, oh, was it Wednesday? Knowing full well it was Wednesday. And just figured maybe I can get away with not going. I'm forgetful. Yeah. To now a relationship with Jesus Christ that came from the depth of me being finally driven to my knees, down on my face, nowhere to go, no way to stand up, and saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And discovering he already had. I'm so tempted to pull that crucifix off the wall in the chapel and bringing it where we can see it. Because there's times I need to look at that crucifix, a crucified Jesus, when I think that this is as good as my relationship is going to get, and I can just look at it, and sometimes I remind other people and ask myself, what more do I want him to do for me? He's given it all. And all he asks of us is to say, believe that I've given it all for you. Amen.